Live from the capital of Raider Nation, Las Vegas, Nevada. It's Silver and Black Today, your daily dose of all things Las Vegas Raiders football. News, views, guests, and your phone calls are all part of the game plan. There's only one nation, and it listens here. Now your host, Scott Culbranson.
Welcome back to Silver and Black Today here on this Wednesday, and we go out on the newsmaker line and bring in Raiders royalty, one of the greats to ever play for the Silver and Black. That, of course, is their all-time sack leader, Greg Townsend, played for the Raiders from 1983 to 93, and then again in 97, a fourth-round draft pick out of TCU, one of Compton's best and brightest to come out of Dominguez High School. It is Greg Townsend joins us today. Greg, thanks for being with Q and I here on Silver and Black Today.
Thank you, Scott. Thank you, Q. I appreciate that. And thank you for the introduction. I saw how you first started off with royalty. And just to let you know, Al Davis always said, in case we meet the queen, we wouldn't be embarrassed to show her our ring. So that's why he got the Super Bowl ring the way he did it for us.
Oh, that's awesome. And, I mean, like I said, you're the all-time sack leader still with the Raiders. 107 and a half sacks in your career with the Raiders. That's 25th all time, by the way, in NFL history. And the closest player to you in Raiders history on the Raider record books is Howie Long with 84. So Greg Townsend, I know a lot of Raider fans appreciate and remember how much of a huge contribution you made to this team. Now let's talk about the Super Bowl. So you go to Super Bowl 18, Raiders, of course, a huge win, 38-9 over Washington. For you being a young player, particularly, talk a little bit about the Super Bowl experience for you playing through that amazing season that you guys had with Coach Flores, but then ending up in New Orleans for that Super Bowl and then winning it.
Well, like you said, I was a youngster coming in there, and my experience, I had to do my experience through the older guys who had been Super Bowl 15. And so seeing how they were experiencing it, that's the way I was sort of taught to experience it, per se. You know, you don't go in these things with no preconceived ideas or notions. You know, they just, it's one of those things when just only two teams are going to be playing this weekend. And so everything is coming at you, from the media to shoe companies to television shows. I mean, just everything is coming at you all at once. And you just tend to just soak it up and see how the older guys are treating the situation and trying to, would you say, navigate yourself through it, because there is a game at the end of this week. We only here to win. So, you know, I experienced it through them, and I had a great experience. And I think one of the best things about that is the older guys pulling the younger guys under the wings, like me and Pakel and Caldwell and Doki Williams. And there's a lot of young guys on that team that year. And we were just fortunate to have veterans the way we did.
Greg, I wanted to ask you a couple questions about Coach Flores. Obviously, he was your head coach when you guys won that Super Bowl. And one was just, how did he navigate through the week, and how did he navigate you guys up until that Super Bowl? And what made him, what kind of buttons did he push to make sure that you guys were all ready to go and in prime position to go win that game?
I know, Q, you ready to hear some big old story about Tom Flores telling us, you know, we got to win this game and giving us these rah-rah speeches and stuff like that. But, you know, Tom is Tom. Tom was laid back. He kind of let the veterans, again, do their thing, because the veterans were speaking on winning all year long. So he kind of let them just keep riding riding that train out. And Tom didn't really have much to say, man. He really didn't. And the way he navigated, the way he did the whole season long, he, like I said before, he just let the veterans just guide the train.
Speaking with Greg Townsend, Raider great, of course, all-time sack leader in the Silver and Black. And Greg, when you talk about that and Tom Flores kind of being laid back and mellow, just like he is in his new Coors Light commercial, of course, trying to get him in the Hall of Fame, as he should be in. But was that something that was really great for you guys, that he didn't change his approach, so it was kind of business as usual?
Now, let me say this. Who am I talking to, Q or Scott?
This is Scott.
Talking to both of you. Matter of fact, I'm talking to both of you. So let me say this. Now, you know what, anybody that's really quiet, like Tom, being portrayed is really quiet, they have another side to them.
Mm.
And I've seen that side before. And you don't want to see that side.
Nice.
You don't want to see that side. I'll tell you a story real quick. My rookie year again, I think maybe my second year. We were out there practicing training camp, and Andy Parker was our backup tight end to Todd Christensen. He kept holding me for some odd reason, and I kept going upside his head. So Tom said to me, he goes, "Townsend, you can't be out here fighting every play." And I made the mistake of saying, "Well, tell him to stop holding." Tom unleashed on me, man. I'm telling you, he said, "You don't tell me what to do. I'm the head coach. Get off the field." And I said, I'm walking off the field, but I'm trying to explain to coach, "Coach, I didn't mean it that way. I didn't mean it that you tell him what to do. I was just kind of saying that as a figure of speech." But I just kept walking off the field, and I'm just thinking, man, I don't want to see that side ever again. So I'm just saying, he has another side to him. He just did enough winning that we kept him cool and calm.
You know, Greg, expanding on that, how have you seen the game change and the way that players are now? It's not really what the head coach says is all that matters. It's kind of like the players have such a large voice now in the room that it's just, it feels different than it did when you played.
Well, again, it was more emphasis on team and family when I played. You know, you played for the other guy. You played for the coach. I mean, you know, you hardly ever played for yourself. It wasn't that rule in there then. So what it was, you just playing for other people, and you had a bunch of tough guys. You really did. You had a bunch of tough guys who were going to play hurt because they knew the team needed them. Today, you have guys that are more independent, more vocal, and knowing from the veterans before them, kind of how the league don't take care of you once you're done.
Mm.
You know, so players are now starting to say, "Hey, I need to take care of my own business," and they're making enough money nowadays too. I always had this saying in the 70s, you play football to work during the off season. And in the 80s and 90s, you play to work when your career is over. Today, they don't have to work. So I sense that they are just more vocal because they have more money, and rightfully so, they should. And because the league do let you down once you're out of the league. So they need to take care of themselves and to be more independent about their future, because it's tough. It's really tough. And they just need to, I'm just mumbling now, but they just need to really just take care of themselves and understand that it's life after football.
Yeah, Greg Townsend, Raider Great, is our guest here on Silver and Black today. And Greg, building on that a little bit, because one of the things I've been talking about over the last few weeks is, you know, with the younger players, not only has the money changed, not only has the personal branding and all this stuff where they're creating businesses for themselves, like you said, to help them when they get out, but also to maximize their revenue when they are playing, is social media. You know, Q and I always talk about it. Q calls it a cesspool. I don't disagree with him on that. But when you were playing, you had, you know, if when you were at a game, fans could yell all kinds of things at you, and that's where you dealt with it. Then, you know, you had the media sometimes would be adversarial, and you might have a reporter that you like, you might have one that you don't like. Nowadays, though, these young guys, they're interacting with people who don't like them, who provoke them into arguments online every day. Can you imagine that? I mean, can you imagine John Matuszak in the realm of social media? And what would it? How different would it have been for you if all those
about John Matuszak? How about Lyle Alzado?
Lyle Alzado, exactly. He might have broken a phone every day.
He would tell him, "Come meet me. Come meet me."
Well, but that's the point, Greg. Can you imagine playing today? Like, you know, if you had a down game or something, because everybody doesn't play a perfect game every time. Can you imagine what that would have been like? I mean, and these young guys who are growing up with it, the added pressure and then the added distraction of these people talking about you and coming at you from different directions. How do you feel about that? What has been your observation?
You know, I'll tell you, back in the day when we were playing, like you said, there was reporters we liked and reporters we didn't like. So there were reporters who wrote bad things about you when you didn't play good, and they really drug you through the mud. I mean, they really did.
Mm-hmm.
And we always approached that as it's like a ship sinking. Mm-hmm. And of course, who's gonna bail off first? It's all the rats. The rats gonna bail off first. They're gonna sense the danger, and they're gonna start fleeing first. And that's who we saw as anybody that chirped on us, that was doing, saying anything negative about us. They were rats. So anytime we was gonna play bad, they was gonna be the first one to chirp or first one to bail off the ship. So you just look at that like any other thing. You play bad, you're going to get some negative. You know, I ain't going to even say you play bad. If you lose, you're going to get, you can play bad and win and still, you know, everybody thinks you play great. Mm-hmm. But that's the thing, like you're saying, when today, if you play bad, everybody wants to talk about how bad you played, like they were good at it. They could play it and stuff. So again, you treat them like rats. They just chirping because they can behind a computer screen or you know, they Facebook or whatever they're doing. They could chirp behind there all day long, but they could never do what you do, period. So if you could see it, if they young guys could see it like that, they'd be fine. But if they can't, they got thin skin, it's going to get to them every time.
Well, speaking of doing what you do, Scott mentioned multiple times that you're the franchise leader in sacks, and that's something that the current Raiders, obviously they need. They need a lot of guys that can get to the quarterback. Pressure is something that they've been struggling with. They got a couple guys that look like they could turn that corner and possibly be that dude. But, Greg, you were what I like to call as an alpha dog, and absolutely were that guy that kind of commanded the locker room, and your play backed it up on the field. What does it take? What does it take for a player to go from being a good player to a great player to being, like I said, that alpha dog player?
It's simple. It's very simple. It's called attitude. It's called attitude, attitude, attitude. My coach always said 90% of the game is talking trash. The other 10% is bagging up all that you just said. So if you're going to talk it, you got to walk it. And it's just that sense. And it comes with attitude. You think you believe you the baddest son of a gun out there, then you are. And nobody can stop you. I'm telling you, my man, I watch this game and I love this game. And I can see when guys got their mind made up to do what they're going to do. You can almost sense it through the TV. I can almost sense it through the TV. And I focus on that person for some odd reason, but I know I'm sensing it through the TV. He's getting ready to do something, you know, spectacular because he's got his mind made up. And one guy I used to see do that all the time was our guy, Bo Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
You could just tell when he had his mind made up. So that's the sense of what I was doing when I played. And matter of fact, that was another thing I did. I always match my game up with some of our other star players. So if Bo Jackson's having a good game, Greg getting ready to have a good game. Mark is having a good game, Greg getting ready. Howie having a good game, Greg getting ready to have a good game. So I would just feed off of other people who we were expecting to have a good game to have a good game. Because you would notice a lot of times, especially in the 80s, I believe so much in the 90s when Art Shell was coaching, we always started on defense, whether we won the coin toss or not.
Yeah.
Because we was going to set the tempo on defense. It was just that simple. We were going to get a three and out real quick and set the tempo by trying to do something on that first play to make get this thing started. So that was the attitude as well. So coming with that attitude, it was just for me just to show up, because they always said big-time players shows up in big-time games, and I was the one. Because I tell you, like you mentioned that Super Bowl earlier, I was the first rookie to ever have a sack in a Super Bowl. And only one had, only one been since me, and that was Bosa last year. So right. it became that type of deal with me because I'm saying, ain't no rookie ever done this that I've done. So let's say I measure myself up to that. I'm doing stuff that nobody has done.
Yeah, right.
Up until Bosa last year. So, you pick out your little spots where you played this game and you say, hey, this is my contribution to the game. And man, I did it earlier than anybody. And as a fourth round pick, because you expect the first round pick to do it. But as a fourth round pick, you don't expect for that. So give them what they want, Greg.
Greg Townsend is our guest here on Silver and Black today. And Greg, as Q talked about, and you watched the Raiders and covered the Raiders too in various ways this year, and you saw that defense and at times played so poorly, but you had talent there. They weren't maximizing it. They make the coaching change. For those young players who kind of maybe lost their way a little bit, how do they find that? Is that to Q's point about having that alpha dog in the locker room on defense to keep the group accountable for those young guys? How do they have to make the switch now? They got a new coach. Undoubtedly, the Raiders are going to go out and get probably a couple good bodies to help with that defense. What do they need to do next to make that jump so that they can be at least a middle of the road defense so this team can get in the playoffs?
Well, first of all, you got to have you have this control chaos, and you have this thing called reckless and abandon. Mm-hmm. With discipline, you got to play this game with both of those things in mind. You got to play this game almost like Belichick says. You first got to do your job. You got to do if you do this man. Damn it, contain and do your job. If you are a three technique, plug it up. If you're one technique, plug it up. If you're a linebacker, fill it. If you're a corner, cover it. I mean, that's all you're asking people to do. Do your job, and then the rest can work its way out, work itself out, and then we can move on from there. We can put the exotic stuff in there then. But until we can do the basics, we can't even do the exotic stuff. So that's what I'm getting at. What I was watching this year from the defense, everybody was trying to, I guess, I'm going to say this to be nice. They were trying too hard. Mm-hmm. 'Cause they kept getting out of position. They kept getting, come on, we in the pros. Why are guys playing up so high on the D-line? Why you can't play underneath the guy? Mm. What's wrong with that? Come on, man. And then for our linebackers, you can't cover that back coming out the backfield. Now, if you know you can't cover him, now what you know you need to do, you got to cheat a little bit. Cheat a little bit so you can cover that guy a little bit better. And we can get a little pressure on that quarterback. But if you got somebody to throw to, we can pass rush all day long and then nothing's going to happen. So these are things that need to be taken care of from young guys' perspective. One, get their job done and understand what control chaos to what reckless and abandoned with a little discipline. They have to play like that. You just can't go out there playing reckless and just chasing a ball. I mean, you just can't go chasing, but you got to go through it, through your door. So that's what I would tell them, because that's what we did when we played, and everybody covered their own ass. That's how you do that. You got a CYA.
Yep.
Absolutely. And Greg, we love hearing the passion and the energy that you have talking about the Raiders. So let me just ask a simple question. What does it mean to you to be a part of the forever fraternity that is the Raiders?
It's the world to me. It's the world. Me and a bunch of the guys, we still talk, and it's always great to see them. It's always great to talk to them. It's not just good. It's just not all right. It's great to see those guys. It's just great to be in a company. It's just good, because when you think about when I'm with those guys, all the little stories about them come rushing back to my mind. It's like Reggie Kinlaw when I first got to the league with him, and he just told me, he said, hey, if you're going to make this team, you have to make it on your own. Forget trying to make friends. You need to make the team first. and then you make friends afterwards. It's little stories I hear about, you know, Alzado telling us, you know, hey, man, this is a league. It's not for long. They only care about what you've done for them lately, not what you've done for them last year or year before. So hearing those things gives you a sense of urgency to play when you were playing. But when you win, all that stuff is just like, I don't know how to describe it other than sweet. It's just sweet. All that hard work, all the work you put in, it just turns out sweet when you win. And so when you win with those guys, and I tell you another story about Reggie Kinlaw too. One time I was, it was my rookie year, and I had scored a safety. I already scored a safety and scored a touchdown. So the players was kind of putting their arms around me per se. You know, they going, hey, Greg, you one of us. You play like a Raider. Da, 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 da. So anyhow, we in Buffalo. And Buffalo was winning this game. We had a minute and 8 seconds left. And I'm going down the sideline. Come on, guys, get your head out your butts and do this and do that and do that. And Reggie looked at me and said, come here, Rook. Stand over here by me and shut the hell up. We're going to win this and watch us win this game. And I just watched us, you know, how we just call plays and just, you know, as my man Hank Stram words, trickulate the ball down the field. I saw that, man, and I'm like, okay, I'm standing over here by Reggie. And Bar, come on, kick the field goal. We win the game. He said, see, next time, don't be saying all that shit. And I'm going like, you know, because it just showed that I had no faith, you know, in us. That's why he was saying next time, don't. You got to have faith in us. You got to know we're going to still win, man. All this time on the clock, we still going to win. And that's what made me a believer. And then, you know, that stuff is what is contagious about being a Raider. You just get the feeling of this stuff, and this stuff just always supposed to happen for us. And it did when we were playing, when I was playing. So it just came one of those things, man, that I just, when I'm around those guys, all those stories come back, and I just love being around them.
Oh, man, I can imagine sitting at a table with you guys. I don't know that I would say a word. I would just keep listening because those stories are phenomenal. Now, before we...
And I'll be the same way.
Yeah, there's so many guys. But, Greg, before we let you go, and we appreciate you spending so much time with us today, we got the Super Bowl on Sunday. Now, I went back. I was watching some video of your playing days, and I found that brawl on October 5th, 1986 with the Chiefs. So I'm going to assume you're not a big Chiefs fan. What about this game on Sunday? You know, you have Tom Brady with at his advancing age of 43 years old, takes the Buccaneers back to the Super Bowl, where you won your Super Bowl in Tampa, by the way. And they're playing the Chiefs and this kid, Patrick Mahomes, who is an incredible athlete. How do you see this game unfolding? Do the Bucs have a chance because of Tom Brady in that defense, or you think the Chiefs are going to pull this one out and win back-to-back?
Okay, here it is. This is my belief. Played the Washington Redskins back in 84, Super Bowl 18. You look at our sideline, you look at their sideline. They only had, as far as I'm concerned, and I could be wrong, but I don't, you know, I looked over there. Only person they had was Charlie Taylor on that coaching staff that played the game. I looked on our sideline. We had Willie Brown, Fred Lednikov, Art Shell, Terry Bisky, Tom Flores. We had several coaches who played the game on our sideline. With that in mind, I'm telling you guys, I'm telling you, if nothing else that you heard from me today, that's how we won. That's how we won. When you get those veterans, those coaches who play the game and can talk to the players and set them on an even keel. I mean, Art Shell told me this before the game. Greg, just do them like you be doing us in practice. That's it. That's all he said. That's all he said. And what do you think that did to me? That lit the fire of desire in my butt. I'm going like, my man. So what I'm getting at, guys, is all the Super Bowls I've looked at, I've always looked at the sidelines and see who's over there coaching. And now we're back to that again. The only one I've seen on the sideline for the Chiefs that played the game is Bieniemy. Now, on the other side, you got Todd Bowles. You got Brian Leftwich. You got Kevin Ross. Mm-hmm. You have Todd McNair. far as I'm knowing, that played the game. And for that, and those guys are in key positions too. Kevin Ross at the corner, McNair at the running back, and you know the other two are coordinators. And I'm saying they're going to win this game. Now I said this earlier this year, but I even said it last year when they started combining these guys on their staff. They just happened to have Winston quarterback and Ford. That was their problem. They had to get another quarterback. But I mean, of course, you said about the 86 brawl, which was, you know, I don't know how to explain that. I didn't get kicked out the game, but they kicked me out the next game with no pay.
Yeah.
And it was terrible. And then, so I never liked the Chiefs because I think they're a bunch of front runners, to tell you the truth. I do. I'm telling you, man, we used to wear them out. They used to be looking so sad over there on their sideline. And if they got one little play of like if they got a little first down or whatever the case may be, those suckers be cheering like they winning the game. And I'd be like, y'all a bunch of front runners. I mean, they would literally stick their tongue out at us. I mean, I'm just telling you, this is what makes you not like a team like that.
Yeah.
So, because they didn't know how to win. And so now they winning. But that's how I'm looking at this. I'm thinking Tampa Bay is going to wear them out. Tom Brady's going to wear that ass out.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Greg Townsend, all-time sack leader for the Raiders and a great, great ambassador for the franchise and for the former players. Greg, thanks for spending so much time today with Q and I.
Thank you, Scott. Thank you, Q. I appreciate you guys. And keep up the good work, man. And go Raiders, baby.
All right, there you go. Greg Townsend was our guest. We're going to hit a break here. When we come back, Silver and Black Today rolls on.
The autumn wind is a raider, and when it blows, it comes from the Las Vegas desert. Back to Silver and Black Today here on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
Welcome back. 702-365-9200 is the number for you to get online. And a bunch of callers earlier in the show, we've had so many. We had all these guests, and including the last one. Are you not fired up? I mean, listen to Greg Townsend, part of that last Raiders Super Bowl winning team back in 1984 at Super Bowl 18. What a great interview. I mean, I love that Hondo in the fact that Greg Townsend talking about the defense and talking about attitude and saying, hey, it's 90% attitude, 10% taking care of business. So, I mean, you know, I think asking his advice on the defense, I think he saw it too, which was, look, he saw too many guys out there that were thinking too much, as he said. He said he was putting it nicely, but great to hear the all-time sack leader still by over 23 sacks over Howie Long. So this man knew what he's talking about.
Well, and the one thing, Scott, that really stands out to me is all the people that want to get rid of Derek Carr, do you know that when he faced Patrick Mahomes twice this year, he outplayed him both games. The difference is Patrick Mahomes has a defense. Now, I'm not saying Derek is Patrick. They're two different quarterbacks, but he outplayed him head-to-head. The Raiders' problem is on defense. Get that fixed, and they'll be the ones playing in the playoffs, and I think they're going to.
Yeah, and I mean, that's one of the things that Greg was basically saying. Look, you got to get that thing fixed out there. And I know a lot of people are Twitter and the social media universe is still abuzz about all this Raider stuff. And I just think, look, you know, it doesn't hurt to talk about anything at any time. But I think Raider fans are just they sense the closeness of this franchise making that turn, that corner, right? And they feel like, hey, if you just give us a defense, and you and I have said numerous times over the weeks and months that this team can win with Derek Carr. There's no question, okay? So if you're talking about the Derek Carr situation, you're talking about what he's been able to do coming off his best season, that's undeniable. At the same time, if you want to talk about upgrading from that, that's fine too. That doesn't mean it's going to happen. I don't think it will happen. I've been saying that all along, so we'll have to see. The other thing, Hondo, I don't know if you saw or if you listened to the Deshaun Watson, or not Deshaun Watson, excuse me, the Richard Sherman and Chris Collinsworth podcast, John Gruden made an appearance on there. And now several GMs or front offices have, I guess, complained to the NFL saying that it was tampering because Gruden was talking to, although Collinsworth said, quote, "I know there's tampering rules out there, and I don't want to bring up anything that might create a problem for you because I know that you've been fined a few shekels over the years." And Gruden says, quote, "I've been fined. I've been punished very, very harshly. Richard Sherman, if you're a free agent, which there is a rumor you are, we are looking for an alpha presence in our secondary, somebody that could play this Hawk 3 press technique with Reed Stepp. If you're available, interested, maybe you and I can get together at some point off air." Now, Hondo, again, you said this back in the summer, one of the first times I talked to you on the air and we had you on the show. You said that there's nothing more fearful to a lot of the NFL than the giant awakening, and that, of course, is the Raiders brand, the Raiders history, the Raiders team. Is this the kind of stuff that just still bubbles up? Because, you know, look, he's talking. They prefaced it by saying that there's tampering rules and they're not officially talking. They're on a podcast together, and they jokingly say this back and forth, and now there's media all over the country and complaints to the NFL office.
Well, first of all, I don't think John Gruden cares. And I think when you saw those comments, you saw John Gruden saying, "Okay, fine me. I don't care. I make 10 big. I make 10 large a year. You know, I'm making 10 million a year. I'm going to walk into the room like the meme of the squirrel, you know, that says, 'Hello, ladies,' and we all can figure out what that meme was about." Yeah. I think John Gruden walks in with job security and a pocket full of money. And he said, "No, listen, if he is a free agent, who cares? I mean, the other teams can go trade for Matthew Stafford, and I can't talk to an alleged free agent. I don't think they care. And they don't want the giant arising. You know, the Raiders bring fear because when the Raiders do things, they do it a certain way. And that's why Mark Davis deserves all the credit in the world for the way that he went out and got a football guy. You heard Rick earlier from the NFL Draft Bible talking about how the Raiders do it right in scouting. This ship will be fine. They will get this righted. And that's a concern to the rest of the NFL. I mean, this is the bad boys of the NFL. And let me say something. I came from Detroit, where it was the Raiders of the NBA, and that was great, and everybody was jacked up about it. But let's still remember, the best form of flattery is imitation, and they weren't called, and they're not calling the Raiders the Pistons of the NFL. They are the Raiders, and they don't want that. And I think it's a good thing for the Raiders. They're back. They're coming back.
Yeah, exactly. All right, we're going out on the phone lines. Our good buddy, Raider 27, you were on the air with Hondo and Scott here on this Wednesday. What's going on, man?
Hey, man, I feel like I've been cheated today. I have not heard Hondo yell at anyone today.
I love you, well, 27. You're one of my favorite callers.
Yeah. Hey, I used to have a contractor that used to come in and cast all the time, and he would, you know, vent on me about everything else. So I didn't hear from him for a month. One time I called him up and said, "Hey, man, are you okay?" He goes, "What?" I go, "You haven't cussed me out in a month, man. What's going on?"
You're awesome, Raider 27. Well, you know what? I am going to say this, is that since you invited and opened the door, allow Uncle Hondo to walk through it. I don't understand people who are silver and black fans, the hatred you have for your quarterback. This guy is a top 10 quarterback. The Raiders are fielding calls from around the NFL with people willing to pay a big price for him. You know, you're like the guy with the hot wife that doesn't realize it. And the moment he dumps her, 4,000 guys show up to take her to dinner. Derek Carr is an elite quarterback. He's an exceptional quarterback. He's valued around the NFL. And I realize it's not all the fans, but for those of you in mom's basement who hate Derek Carr, you're looking stupid. Accept the reality.
Hey, there you go. I gotta tell you, Hondo, my wife is hot as it gets for age 66. So I'm telling you, man, that's funny that you said that, because what I was going to say was, we have, according to whichever site, Pro Football, I think Pro Football Focus had Derek Carr rated at number 8. And Deshaun Watson was rated at number 5. Derek Carr was 8-8. Deshaun Watson was 4-12. So my question for you guys is, how much do you think we should really give up for a quarterback to move up three spots when if we just could get up to the 18th or 19th defense, we could go deep in the playoffs?
Yeah, Raider 27, it's an important question, and here is how I look at that. Two things. One is, you're absolutely right. You fix that if this defense this year was ranked 15th or 17th or 18th, they're in the playoffs. I really, really believe that, okay? So that said, I've said it again and again. The Raiders can win with Derek Carr. Also, though, I look at Deshaun Watson and I look at his abilities and the talents that he has. They both are talented quarterbacks. They both bring different things to the table. I think Deshaun Watson at 25 years old would add a different dynamic to a John Gruden offense that would be very interesting to see. But again, the price you pay all depends on that. And that's what Vinny's story was about. We talked about at the top of the show, which was if they could get two first-round draft picks for Derek Carr and package those with their own, and they feel that's the best way for them to get better, then they might do it. I just don't think the stars align like that, and I don't think they're in any hurry to do it because, like you said, they have a top 10 quarterback, and they don't need – it's not like they are a team without a quarterback. If you're a team without a quarterback, a star, if you're Washington, for example, you need a quarterback. You don't have one. So it's a whole different ballgame. So I think the Raiders are in the perfect position. They can entertain all the offers in the world, and they can say, no, thank you. We got what we need. We're moving on, unless somebody blows their socks off.
And Scott, I totally agree with you there. That's a great point on your part. The people have to understand it's just not finding somebody willing to trade. It's finding someone willing to trade of a value that matters to you. You know, sometimes I think like Raider fans don't care who they trade them for, just trade them. But you'd have to improve your team. And I'm going to tell you this, Derek Carr is playing at such a high level that I don't know that you improve your team with but there's only probably a couple of quarterbacks that you would improve them with. And I think that's the biggest thing that people need to step back off the cliff for.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Raider 27, thanks for your call. That opens up a phone line. 702-365-9200 is the number, and we'll get your call in there as always. And yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I don't understand, like, oh man, I've never seen a fan base more polarized over a player. I really haven't. You know, when you see polarization over a player, you usually see it because, you know, you got some jerk who does something wrong and you have people who defend him or her that way anyway. But then you got the other side of the people saying, blow this guy out or whatever. So I'm not sure why Derek Carr does that with people. It's strange because, you know, he's done everything he's been asked to do. He's improved every year since John Gruden got there. And so I don't get it. I mean, again, I'm a big Deshaun Watson fan. If they could get him and not trade away the rest of their future and they could fix their defense, I'd be open to that. I'm not saying it would happen, but I'd be open to it. I just don't think it will. And I think Raider fans, and I think this is where some of them are, Hondo, which is they're just sick and tired of talking about Derek Carr when they know there's other problems on the team.
Here's the problem. The Raider fan base is one of the best in the NFL. They are the St. Louis Cardinals of baseball, of football, the way they are to baseball. The problem is you get that loud minority who love to just run their mouth and sound cool. And so I understand, you know, you're frustrated with the Raiders, then be frustrated at the Raiders in totality, but not your, I mean, it's like people, I'm seeing someone the other day saying, well, we need to trade Darren Waller for a first round draft pick. Are you kidding? I'm going to be very blunt. I think Travis Kelce's a great player. I wouldn't trade him for Travis Kelce. If you're this close, you don't get rid of a Darren Waller. I mean, this guy's an elite player playing at an elite level. And so they act like Derek is an elite player as far as value and what they'll get in trade, but they don't value him in the silver and black. And that doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think, to me, we asked the question yesterday here on the show, Hondo, what Raider would be untouchable? Like, even if you got the call, do you just say, no, I'm not even entertaining it? And to me, that was Waller, even more so than Carr. And that's nothing against Carr. I just think Darren Waller is that good and at the beginning of what is going to be an amazing, amazing career. And in today's NFL and in the AFC West, where you talked about the guy that's there, Travis Kelce, if you want to beat the Chiefs, you want to win the division, then you got to have that player. And so to me, Darren Waller is that guy. I wouldn't trade him for anything. All right, we're going back on the phone lines. It's Raider Paul. Raider Paul, you're on with Hondo and Scott.
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call. Great interview with Greg Townsend.
You know,
I had the privilege of watching him many times. You know, I sat on the 50-yard line in Oakland for years. What a beast, that whole team. But back to Carr, thank you very much. I've been sticking up for this guy, Carr, who I love, since Fresno State. They need to give him a break, and I'll tell you why. Last year, look what he went through last year. He had no weapons. Williams got hurt. We had the Antonio Brown dilemma. Don't even want to bring him up. And then this year, we got the Coven, and we had how many offensive linemen were going down every single weekend. And he's still the top 10 quarterback, and he's still half the price of most of these big-time players. It just really, really bothers me, and I got to get it out. You got to lay off the guy. We just got to build a defense and stick together like the nation does.
Yeah, Raider Paul, no, I hear what you're saying there, although, I'm going to challenge you just on this one because I agree 100% with you, although I would say that the story itself and what it was about is not about, and I know some fans out there, like Hondo said, it's a small percentage of fans, are using it to say, yeah, get rid of Derek Carr. I think, though, the conversation is not really a negative for Derek Carr. It's a positive, because if teams are calling about your quarterback, you know, like I said, were there any teams calling about some of the quarterbacks in the league that weren't making it very well? I mean, if you have people calling about your quarterback, it means they know he can win and he can run your offense.
Well, I'm going to say this since the reason that's happening, Scott, mm-hmm. is because he is performing at such a high level.
Right.
And so people, and you nailed it. You know, I think again, I go back to what Rick said, you know, those who know, and those who understand the game know. I knew last year that people had called on Derek Carr. Scott, I told you that at our first lunch at Wands, but that the Raiders were not interested. That's not their problem, and they know that. They've got to go out, they've got to get offensive linemen, they got to go out and get defensive linemen, and they need some studs to go back in there, and they need to bring back the Soul Patrol that, you know, the Raiders fearsome defensive backs from the 70s. They need that. And that's why, you know, you mentioned a minute ago with Gruden's comments about Sherman. I don't think he cares. We're the freaking Raiders. Let's go. Let's play ball. We want you, Sherm. Sign up. Let's go. I think that's the whole mindset.
Yeah, the day before the world gets to see Al Davis versus the NFL, the documentary on ESPN tomorrow night, John Gruden channeling some of that maverick that was Al Davis. All right, we're going to take our last break of the day. When we come back, we'll get back to your phone calls. Want to hear what you guys have to say about all this, and thanks for your feedback. Get a lot of feedback online about the Greg Townsend interview. Greg's a great guy, great interview, and a Raider through and through, so thanks for that. We'll be back here. It's Hondo and Scott on Silver and Black Today, only on Raider Nation Radio.
From Stabler to Plunkett and Allen to Jacobs, we've got your Raiders covered on Silver and Black Today. Here's your host, Scott Culbranson.
Welcome back. Scott Culbranson, Uncle Hondo Carpenter, of course, of Sports Illustrated's Raider Maven website. Follow him on Twitter at Hondo Carpenter. Follow me at LV Gully at your own risk. And Hondo, I'll tell you what, you know, you're not going to be back on the air with us. I know you'll be on Pritch and Clay on Friday, but want to get your take on this Super Bowl. I mean, you have the Chiefs, you have the Buccaneers. You know, to me, like, you know, I think in my head, well, gosh, the Chiefs, they seemed so much more dominant. But you got that guy Brady across the way. You have that defense in Tampa Bay just playing better. They're playing a home game, even though it hasn't met much, according to Jay Binkley we talked earlier. What do you see from this game? What are you excited about? What do the Bucs have to do to have a shot?
Well, first of all, I think the Bucs, this game is going to be won by the defenses. And I know that shocks everybody because all the discussion's been about Tom Brady and all the discussion's been about Patrick Mahomes. But to me, it's going to come down to defenses. What team's defense can make the other quarterback uncomfortable? And when you look at Patrick Mahomes, he does so many different things that I think even if you take away one thing he does, it doesn't cause discomfort because he's able to switch to another thing. And with Tom Brady, his comfort is in the pocket. When you make him get out of the pocket, then all of a sudden what happens with a Tom Brady is he's limited and he makes mistakes. And to me, I think the defense of Kansas City is going to be able to force Tom Brady to make mistakes that the defense of Tampa Bay is not going to be able to force Patrick Mahomes to do. And I think you're going to see the Chiefs come out as back-to-back Super Bowl champions.
Wow, yeah. No, and that's the thing too, Hondo. I want to go with the Chiefs because for all the reasons you just said, and I think the Buccaneers do have a chance. And you know, Jay said earlier that the game will be closer, it might go back and forth a little bit. I agree with that, but I think the Buccaneers have so little margin for error, and it's a big game, and you have to play. They have to play almost a perfect game. And if they play a perfect game, they might be able to sneak it out. I just don't see that happening, especially with Tom Brady at his advanced age. And like you said earlier, the velocity coming off his ball isn't what it used to be. He's still a very good quarterback, but I just think that that edge to Kansas City is far too much, and they're just not going to have the opportunity. And it's hard in a big game like that. With nerves and everything else, I don't care how big of a pro you are. Tom Brady said it during the Super Bowl media availability earlier in the week, where he said, listen, you know, it's really hard to get to the Super Bowl, but it's even more difficult to win it. And I think he knows that because he's been on the losing end of some. And I just can't see, as much to the chagrin of Raider Nation, I just don't see the Chiefs not winning this game.
You know, Scott, I want Raider Nation to take to Twitter or to get on the phone lines right now. That's even better, and to talk to us on Twitter. But if you beat Kansas City once and almost beat them again, and they're in your division, I would think that you would want them to win for this one reason, just one, because you beat them. And it allows you to be able to say to people, okay, one of their blemishes came from us, and we're coming. And we're on our way, and we're close. I get it. I understand the hatred, but I'm sorry. Ever since the Tuck rule, I'm not even a Raider guy. I grew up in Michigan. Ever since the Tuck rule, I think everybody saw the NFL favors Tom Brady. He's their golden child, and I know it was the rule. I'm not saying Tom cheated, but I'm just saying I can't believe there would be a Raider fan rooting for Tom Brady. I realize you may have to hold your nose to root for Kansas City,
yeah.
But I'm sorry. I can't see it. Maybe I'm wrong. I can't see it.
Yeah, there's a lot. I mean, we've had some great passionate callers over the last 2 weeks who've said, in essence, what you just said was, look, yeah, you know, I hate the Chiefs and all that stuff, and I want to beat the crap out of them and all that stuff, but Tom Brady. You know, going back, he's like, I can't root for Tom Brady. And then the little sprinkle on top of that crap Sunday is the fact that Antonio Brown's there. Right? So Antonio Brown could win a Super Bowl ring, and that's a fresh memory for Raider fans, right? They remember just a couple of years ago how he made camp such a disaster. And everyone was so excited to have him on the team. And so I think for Brady and him to get on that podium in Tampa raising the Lombardi would be much more painful. Not that a Chiefs win wouldn't be painful too, but certainly a lot more painful if Brady does it again for the seventh time. It's crazy. So we'll have to see what happens there.
Or just go to Lake Mead fishing and tune in Monday and let Scott and I tell you what you missed.
That's right. That's perfect. It's going to be good. Hondo, as always, man, listen, I appreciate you being here. You always add something great to the show, and I know the fans love it. And we will talk to you again on Monday where we get to dissect what happened in the big game.
All right, buddy. God bless you and all the listeners. Thanks, everybody. See you on Friday in Pritchard Clay.
All right, there you go. Hondo Carpenter, of course, Sports Illustrated's Raider Maven website. Make sure you check it out. Follow him at Hondo Carpenter as well as we wind down. Tomorrow's show, I will be live at the Raiders facility out in Henderson in the brand new studio. I'm sure you've seen JT there before. He does a TV show there and a radio show. I will be there. Joining me will be Evan Grote. And also, we have on the show a great guest. I think one of the things about the Raiders in the community is what they do with kids sports, and Green Valley High School girls flag football coach David Torres will be with me. We'll talk about the growth of flag football for girls in Nevada. It's a sanctioned sports in the state. Not there's only 7 states that have it. We have it here. We'll talk to him and about the Raiders' involvement in Nike's $5 million donation to girls flag football across the country. For Hondo Carpenter, for Chris Chapman back in the studio, the Magnum Man, I am Scott Gilbranson. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you here tomorrow on Silver and Black Today on Raider Nation Radio.